concern that I would like the board to please consider when raising the fee is that the hotel is also looking at their bottom line. And if this increase in the fee raises their price to enough where their balance sheet doesn't look the way they like it, then that could jeopardize the continuation of this, of what Hawaii Explosives does for the community, and also the economic benefit that is brought to the area by all the people that come to view the displays every week. And so I think it would be wise to think about keeping that fee more affordable in hopes that it won't tilt the balance sheet too far for the hotel to make it change its mind. Thank
Let
you
me
for
ask
a
you, Pat, how much do you charge? How much do you charge?
That would be a question for Bruce.
Bruce, how much do you charge?
The weekly show, you know, it's an annual contract, but I believe right now it's somewhere around the range of about $8,000 a show.
A show.
Yeah.
I think, Pat, $750 maybe we provide you a space. Otherwise, you'd have to find. So you're right. I mean, I think these are all considerations. So, but the motion has unanimously passed. So I am going to move on to item D10. D10. Thank you so much, Bruce. Thank you. I appreciate your patience too.
Can I just take like 5 seconds and just say the one thing I've learned from being sitting here now is I appreciate all the work you guys do. And I know it's hard. I know you guys have to make a lot of hard decisions, and I've watched a lot of those decisions, you know, play out in all these hearings and sitting here for hours waiting for our agenda item. So I just wanted to say, as a
person, my car is going to be 90 soon. So if there's a free fireworks show that you guys are offering,
his birthday, right?
Please.
Yes,
please.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, we've appreciated your patience always.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you guys for your work. Yeah,
everybody says you stay here long enough, it's like, well, I didn't even know. So thank you. But I do urge you, you should flee while you can before we call you back.
Yeah,
thank you very much. Appreciate so, item D10.
Luke Sarvis will be presenting.
Okay, Luke.
Good afternoon, Chair, members of the board. Luke Sarvis with Land Division for D10. This is a request for authorization to deregister 6 parcels from Land Court. The first 4 are held by the department. Those are for our development in East Kapolei. And the other 2 are with DOE. One is Honolulu Middle School, and one is for an elementary school yet to be constructed. I'll be around for questions if you have any. Thank you.
This was really unusual. This is the first deregistration. Yeah, this is the first time I've seen. I mean, yeah. Okay.
There'll be more.
Okay. Very. I think we should. I think we should have one recordation system. Land Court is just—it's outdated. It's extremely cumbersome for the department. So, all right. With that being said, questions, board members? Is there anybody here to testify on item D10?
Move approval of staff recommendation.
Second.
Okay, motion has been moved and seconded to approve staff's recommendation for item D10. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Amy's hand is raised. The motion passes unanimously. Item D11.
D11, we have an after the fact. We're asking the board to approve after the fact right of entry to this entity, Norton Lilly International, for temporary berthing of a wave energy device. I believe the date that they needed to get on the start was April 15. We just didn't make it. We didn't have enough time. Barry, are you available if there's questions?
Yeah. I'm here.
Board members, any questions to staff on item D11? Is anybody here in the room on D11? Anyone in Zoom on D11? Okay, with that being said, do I have a motion for D11?
Staff recommendation.
Second.
Motion has been moved and seconded to approve staff's recommendation for item D11. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
And I see Amy's hand raised. Motion passes unanimously. We're going to go on to items F, and the first one we're going to take is F5, but I'm going to take we'll come back in 5 minutes, 3:45. Thank you.
Oh, yep.
And it's Cleavy. Please.
Thank you, everybody. And I have Amy Barnes is not on Zoom just yet. I'm sure she'll join us very shortly. So let's move on to item F5 first. Very good.
Aloha, Chair, members of the board. Brian Nielsen, Administrator for Division of Aquatic Resources, also joined by Charlie Taylor, our legal fellow. And I'm going to hand this one over to Charlie to kick us off.
Okay. Aloha, Chair. Aloha, members of the board. I will try to share screen here if I can. Let's see. Oh, here we go.
Is there anything new that we're going to see right now, or have we seen
just a little bit, not much, and I can blaze through this. I know we've already brought this before you all twice already, so this is the third time, so I will not go through all of the things you've already been through, but just to as a quick recap, is this everyone can see the screen, right? Okay, so so this is the Nacoa grounding incident. I just wanted to give a brief procedural history timeline. So February 20th, 2023 was the date of the incident. And we all know there was the first biological site assessment. The Nacoa ended up getting, was removed to deeper water, was scuttled. And on the 7th, we conducted our second site assessment. On July 28th, 2023, that was the first time we brought this item before you all. We thought we had reached a tentative settlement with one of the parties, the Alberts Trust. But after a few months, we sort of got the impression that that settlement wasn't going through. So we brought this back again on January 26th, 2024. At that meeting, we were directed by you all to go back to Maui, or for the first time, go to Maui and hold a community meeting with any affected parties to gauge community input for our fine recommendation and to see how it impacted or affected them. And that's what I'm gonna talk about in just a second. That was on February 22nd at Kumulani Chapel in Lahaina. And then today is our third time bringing this before you. So basically it's just a brief summary. You've probably already read the testimony that was attached to this submittal. Three general themes came up from listening to the testimony. I tried to summarize them into three categories. So the first one was that DAR's recommended fine amount was too low. The board should pursue the maximum fine to deter this type of behavior in the future. The second theme was that any fines that are paid by the RPs to DLNR should be used for increased enforcement of existing rules and or for better, more durable moorings. And third, if the DLNR cannot adequately police and manage Honolulu Bay, then Honolulu Bay should be closed to all commercial activities. So those are just, most of the testimony fell into one of those three themes. So I'm gonna blaze through all this because I think you all know this, what happened, what our assessment uncovered. This is the legal authority. These were the actual rules that they violated, Hawaii Administrative Rules 1395-70 and 1395-71. Those are stony coral and live rock damage rules. Sorry for the fine print on this one. I put this in here just to show where we get our authorization for fines. It's HRS 187A 12.5C, which I just wanted to draw attention to this. For a violation, a fine of not more than 1,000. And that's all it says, not more than 1,000. So that's the maximum. And then I don't know if you can see my cursor, but in addition to this, a fine of up to 1,000 for each specimen, up to 1,000. Now, I've mentioned the past two times before you that we use these coral penalty matrices and a live penalty matrix, which just is an in-house tool. It has no bearing on what you're authorized to fine anyone. It's something that we use because it's a little easier, not easier. It's just, we recognize the reality that sometimes, you know, a small nick on our coral, getting $1,000 for that isn't always not always an appropriate fine. So we use this in-house. However, that does not mean the board, of course, is not bound to that at all, and you can use your discretion however you'd like. So this was how we originally calculated the damage to come up with our fine amount. In terms of coral, it was 26,700. And in terms of live rock, it was 33,500. However, the maximum for those two, if you were to, whatever you choose, if you were to go for the full statutory maximum, it would be about $119,000 for 119 damaged corals, and $1,642,000 for the 1,640.5 meters of live rock that was damaged. That's $1,000 per meter, plus $1,000 for each actual fine, adding another $2,000. When you add all that up and you add our administrative costs up, now this admin cost is just a final number that was calculated out. When you add all that up, that's our recommended fine. And I apologize, I didn't get to put this on a slide, but the maximum fine that could be fined today is $1,818,851.97. Our recommended fine is much lower, but that's because it's based on precedent and we just try to treat all these cases exactly the same. But in terms of discretionary penalty or discretion in the fine amount, that's really up to the board. And other than that, that is our recommendation. If the board decides to levy a fine that is not what we recommended, if it's significantly higher, for instance, or lower, we do have a recommendation on how that fine should be apportioned, but I'll leave that maybe to a later discussion.
I'm so sorry. What was the final number? 1,118,000.
Yeah, apologies for not having that on the slide. It's 1,818,851.97.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
So for the 1.81 plus million,
mm-hmm.
you can justify that number?
Yes.
Okay. So anything south of that, you can justify that number?
Correct.
Okay.
And sorry, can you explain why? I know you said it's within our discretion and that's the sort of the ceiling. Can you explain why that's the ceiling?
That is the, it's, we have a statutory maximum of fines that we can level per violation and per species, and it's $1,000. So we came up with this number. The 119 corals were taken to the maximum would be 119,000. And there were 1,640 square meters of live rock. So if you multiply that by 1,000, it's 1,640,000. And we round up with live rock. So even a half meter is considered a meter. So it'd be 41,000. Add those together, then add our admin costs. And that should get this number.
Okay.
Yeah. And the reason we can't go above that is because the HRS does not allow for that, or we're not authorized to go above that.
Got it.
Welcome.
You know, I have some, I guess, some procedural issues. In looking at the Alberts attorney, they stated that, you know, they're very clever in trying to get back to DLNR, investigating whether there was a theft. I don't know why we get into these issues, or it's very clever. Where is that? Was there a complaint made, and was there an investigation? And what is the status of that?
My understanding is that I would like to hear from RP's counsel on that, but my understanding is I know there was a complaint, and I know that somewhat recently they are actually in a different suit against their insurance carrier, because the insurance carrier is, it's kind of complicated, but I guess they're split into two, almost like a shell company, or there's something very confusing about that, how to get that back. In terms of the theft, I think that's still being determined. If it has been determined, that would be, I'm not aware of that. But they have filed a complaint.
The complaint
against Mr. Jones.
Insurance company is for the cost of salvage, which the insurance company for the Alberts did pay.
Correct.
Which is totally different from this issue. The concern I have is that the bad guys, there's a question as to whether they've flown the coop. And so as we begin evaluating and increasing charges and so forth, it comes down to the, may come down to the Alberts, which there's a question as to whether they can get out of it because they had turned the boat over to the culprits and it was an unauthorized use. On the other hand, I think looking at it, I think they placed the boat in the hands willingly because they had a greed factor of trying to sell the boat, although it sounded like a really weird sale price because it went on forever. And so I'm trying to factor all of this in. And the concern I have is that if we begin playing with, you know, $150,000 versus $1 million, you know, it looks kind of weird when you begin thinking as to what party we're actually going to go against, and then how they hook us back in into a investigation. We shouldn't even be there, but somehow DLNR is looking at something.
Well, so that is why, if you want to know our opinion on whether, for instance, if you were going to go higher amount than we recommended, let's say, and I'm hearing everything you're saying about this issue, we would recommend that this fine be apportioned based on, I'm trying to think of how to say this.
Culpability.
Yes, based on, we're not denying that both parties have liability, but we would like to apportion that in terms of culpability, I suppose. And we would suggest a 90% fine towards Mr. Jones and a 10% towards the Alberts if you were going to go to a certain,
I guess higher. I am concerned in breaking our current, I think a good example is the albatross and the bees. Mm-hmm. when you begin bringing a lot of parties in, it just complicates the issues when the real culprits probably were just that woman for that 1 yard that cleared it out. I can see bringing everybody in jointly and severally and seeing where it lands up, but it creates legal issues, procedural issues, especially on contested cases and so forth. So I think there's some real policy issues that we want to look at. My sense actually would be to stick with their 117, the original. Whether the community is pissed off or not, which is the factor you were looking at, probably is not even that relevant insofar as our determination. And it just confuses the issue more. And then trying to now at, you know, the 13th hour, divide up as between one group and the other. I think we have to think through all of this. And my gut reaction is, having heard that, we should just stick with the original charge and join us over with all of it, and then let us see where it handles. And then insofar as that investigation, I think that just got to be sidelined if AG office or DLNR is getting involved in that, should extricate themselves or
so
try to wall themselves
I do have the counsel, Rando Smith. is online. So if you've got any legal questions, and then there are people who are here for public testimony.
Okay. Well, just in response to that, I agree with that. Something we've been thinking about. I think at the last board meeting, you actually asked about joint and several liability. And I think I told you that I thought we could bring it jointly and severally. And I think I misspoke. And I will defer to AG on this, but it was because I remember there was an exception for joint and several liability in the case of environmental damage, right? But upon further review, I think it's more environmental pollution. And we weren't sure if these damages would be considered pollution. So that's why we were thinking more of an apportionment route instead of bringing them directly together, just because we weren't sure if we were able to do that, to bring it in that way.
Can I ask just on that point? I mean, didn't fuel leak?
Yes, fuel. Yeah, that's correct.
There was.
So fuel leaked. The reason, and that is considered pollution. My hesitancy with that, though, is because we didn't bring a fine for the fuel. In this case, we just brought it for the damage. So you're correct. We went down that path as well. Like, would the fuel, and maybe it would. I would defer to AG on that.
And is it within our discretion to add the fine for the fuel at this point, or we're only allowed to modulate up or down?
I think that would fall under Department of Health's authority. That's
well, I mean, it's Department of Health, but it also, the fuel has an impact on the ecosystem, right? The fish don't like breathing oil, I assume, any more than people do.
That's true.
So I'm sorry, question, Chair, if I may. So the variance between the 1,818,851, whatever, that last figure, as versus the 117,000. Explain that variance again to me, please.
Sure. So the big number, the 1.8 million, that is if you wanted to pursue all of the violations that we've listed, if they were taken to their maximum fine amount, that is what the number would be. Now, the reason that our recommended fine amount is not that number is because we, in practice, we don't usually pursue full maximum amount. And we have a process of doing this of basically,
we look at the species of corals that slower growing coral. We look at the size of the coral colony. That all gets factored in to a more conservative estimate than just going with the maximum per specimen fine.
Correct. So in this particular case, the 119 corals that were damaged, as an example, if you can maybe see my cursor here, like they were smaller. Most of them were smaller, and they were of a form that were not as highly valued in terms of ecosystem services, for instance. That's kind of how we value these. And so for some of them, you can see on this, like down here, if you have a big one, 160 centimeters, that is a branching coral, for instance. That is, we recognize that that is one of our most important corals in terms of ecosystem value, and also maybe in terms of rarity, for instance, or in terms of importance to the reef and whatnot. So we would recommend $1,000 fine for the damage to that, to a coral that was that size. But because in this case, the corals were smaller, and same with the live rock, the bulk of the fine, actually of the maximum fine, could come from the live rock. This live rock was, as you can see, we have different fines for live rock for value of that. And it happened to be that this area in this particular coastline was of a, I hate to even say low value, it's all very valuable, but in terms of this tool that we use, it was lower for our normal fine recommendation. So if you add it all up using this tool, that's how we came to that number, the 117,000.
And this is the tool that you use in, I mean, this is your business practice. This is how you calculate other comparable damages.
Correct.
You have assessed them in the past?
In the past, when we bring these before you, we use the same tool. So we don't want to be accused of bias or anything. We want to just make it straightforward.
You can justify it. That's not, okay. I know, again, we have members, Rando Smith, who I believe, I'm not too sure who he represents. So Rando, did you want to provide any comments if I open it up for public comments?
So they don't want to do this.
Yes. I think he's counsel for, I'm not too sure who.
The Albert Trust.
Correct.
Did we ever get paid on that for the salvage costs? They were going to use their insurance.
I believe you did, but I guess Dobor would have to confirm that. But I believe the insurance reimbursed DLNR.
So what is the issue with the insurance now? Whether they'll pay for coral damage?
It's whether the in...
Trying to get reimbursement, I think.
Oh, so the Alberts are trying to get reimbursement.
Yeah, get a reimbursement.
So long as we got
paid. Or the insurance company is trying to get a reimbursement.
Yeah, and I would let Mr. Smith explain that. It is a little complicated, but yes, that's basically it.
Rando Smith, are you going to... Can you unmute yourself? While we wait for him, board members, do you have any other questions? I do have two staff. I know John Cardi is here, as is, I see also Paele Kiyokono, and then I see Kai Nishiki.
Chair, I'm going to yield to the rest of the board for their questions and concerns, but I do have a matter of importance to ask.
You want to ask the staff?
I think I'll bring it up. I could bring it up. So my...
I'm sorry, madam. It took me a long time to get in. Let me clarify a couple things. Number one, there should be no misunderstanding. I represent the Albert Trust. We've been at every hearing. We've submitted testimony for every hearing. We've been involved with the AG at every hearing and before. There is no basis for joint and several liability because there's a theft here. Number one. Number two, DLNR well knows that its own investigators haven't completed the theft investigation. So why they think there's some issue with respect that the Albert Trust is somehow responsible here is confusing to me. Number three, the Albert Trust Insurance Company paid for the salvage, although we didn't agree to the salvor. So we're not seeking reimbursement. So when DLNR says, oh, they're confused about whether we're seeking reimbursement, we're not seeking reimbursement. We paid for it. The issue is Jim Jones and his captain, Captain Kim Higa, caused this problem, the grounding. Number two, DLNR itself selected the salvor, which conducted an improper salvage, which caused a damage, which DLNR is now seeking to recover from the Albert Trust. That's improper. So if there are any other questions, I'd be happy to answer them. I don't know why there's any confusion. We've made this clear since last year in written submissions.
Any questions for Mrs. Smith? All right. Nepal, did you want to ask something?
I do, but I'd like to hear from the community.
John Cardi has been here for quite some time. I'll take John Cardi. And then I'll take Paele Kiyokona and then Kai Nishiki. I'm running out of gas.
Hi, Chair.
Hello, how nice board. To see you again.
Thank you. John Cardi, Save Honolulu Coalition. It's been 431 days since the luxury yacht ran aground in our sacred area. And I need 4 minutes. I have to ask for 4 minutes. Oh, I represent a lot of people.
I'm going to give you two. I've got several more items before I lose it.
I speak on behalf of a lot of people.
Less than a year.
Mr. Schmidt, you can mute yourself, please. Go ahead.
So today's a day for justice, and the pain and suffering of my community needs to be honored. And I don't know why we're talking about just a few coral heads and this or that. There was diesel spill. There's pain and suffering to our community. There's profound cultural damage. There needs to be some acknowledgement that this area that the boat was on is sacred, like a heiau. Okay, so this is not just about some small biological beings, and the effect of the diesel on the whole entire bay, I think, is not being addressed. In the last testimony that we had on at the Kumalani, somebody addressed this, and I think it should be viewed. The other thing that wasn't addressed was how Kanaka from our area talked about the sacredness of this area, even linking it to the Kumalipo. So there is so much value in that that is not being addressed, and it is very relevant. All of these things are very relevant, sir. So I ask that you tune into those testimonies. I have a great story I wish I had time to share about how Chair Chang experienced the passion of our community. I'll pass on that. A couple years ago, $600,000 fine for someone who this body fined someone $600,000 for poisoning a stream and some shrimp. So this diesel spill is on that scale, and that doesn't even include the damage to the coral, the permanent scar, the boat at the bottom of the ocean, and the pain and suffering and cultural damage to our community.
So John, you've gone over. I'm gonna let you go just a couple of more.
Yeah, I'll wrap up.
Thank you.
Mooring enforcement's a problem. 16 boats have washed up. Use this $1.8 million to create a mooring task force. If our shorelines and sacred places cannot be kept safe, then I ask that the permits not be given, because these areas need to be keeping safe. Send a powerful message to boat owners that they take better care moving forward. Send a message to our community to honor their pain and suffering. It has been a hellish year for our community. We've endured too much. It's unthinkable, and a slap on the wrist today for the boat owners would be a slap in our face, and we have gone through too much. This desecration and damage to one of our most sacred places demands a $1.8 million fine. Pursue all violations. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I have, is it Paele and then Kai Nishiki?
Hello.
Hello.
Mahalo for the opportunity to speak. I second a lot of what John Cardi said. I am also with him on Safe Honolulu Coalition. And I don't think, you know, I've heard some comments about potentially going for the lower fine, whatever, $150,000. And I don't think we should be seeking an easier route for the purpose of convenience. I believe that we should go for the maximum fine, because we are able, yes, they're able to quantify an amount given the surface area that you can see that was affected. But what about all of that which you can't? Like the pain and suffering of the community, the cultural side, and also to mention the diesel spill that did, you know, it went further than just that area itself. The long-term irreplaceable effects that this has had on our coral reefs is ridiculous. And aside from that, it's just giving all other boat owners, commercial operators who come here to seek Hawaii as a money-making vehicle and as a playground, it just gives them a different light that they can do whatever they want. And we've said that already, it's been said already, we just got to set the precedence from here on out. But I don't think a slap in the wrist is the way to go on this. And, you know, we judge value based on whatever its monetary value. And Honolulu is one of the rarest gems that you can see across Hawaii. It's world renowned. So when something is of that rarity, we should be taking a lot more decisive, strict action towards these people. And it's sickening. It happens every single day, every year this has happened, and hasn't been addressed. So if this is the case, then we should not allow Honolulu to continue to be a commercial area. If we can't enforce it, all of our places, then we shouldn't be allowing that. But I understand I went over time and I'm going to wrap up, but that's it for me. Mahalo.
I greatly appreciate that. Thank you, Paele. Kai Nishiki.
Aloha, Chair and board members. Thank you. I know it's been a really long day. Thank you very much for your very careful consideration on this very important matter. And thank you for allowing time to come to our community and collect information. I know that you can appreciate how much hurt and suffering and mistrust has been caused by this. And the only way to come back from something like that is to set a precedent. And me, I say it should be $10 million. And there should be no commercial activity allowed at this pristine and important area, not just for cultural, but for its marine environment. And so, you know, I think that it should also, a portion of that fine should be set on the side to work with the Save Honolulu Coalition to lead a community-based management for Honolulu. And also money should be going towards the management plan. But most importantly is to stop all commercial activity until a management plan is put into place, because we have no trust that there is adequate enforcement. And when trust is broken, you need to start all over and assure that there are protocols and plans in place so that this never happens again. And that cannot be guaranteed unless we stop all commercial activity, don't allow, and we put up a plan and management, a community-based management plan in place. So that's what I would ask this board to consider. We must make a huge example so that this decision is heard around the world, because that's who loves Honolulu. Everyone here and millions of people around the world. Mahalo.
Thank you, Kai. Do I have anybody else? I know Russell Sparks. Was he just to answer here, questions? Okay.
Sorry, just
anybody else?
Not for FI.
Okay. So, board members, can I ask Randall, do we know where Mr. Jim Jones is?
Yes. In our submission, we provided his contact information, which we obtained through his bankruptcy filing. And so certainly Danica Svensson and the DAG can access him and contact him. And again, let me note, he's never, although after the incident, he publicly acknowledged his responsibility, he has never appeared for any of these hearings.
Did we send this? Did he acknowledge receipt? The certified mail?
No, we sent, because the last time he never acknowledged it, so it ended up not even coming. So this time we sent it regular mail, just because we wanted to know, and we would still know it got there. And we had a discussion about this, but last time we couldn't get it certified. He wouldn't.
I see.
For whatever reason.
But it never got returned.
Never got returned.
Okay. So they. Okay. All right. So. All right. Well, Chair Napul.
I'm going to call for an executive session, if I may. The board may go into executive session pursuant to section 92-5, parentheses A, parentheses 4, HRS in order to consult with its attorney on questions and issues pertaining to the board's powers, duties, privileges, immunities, and liabilities.
Do I have a second? Okay, motion's been moved. All in favor of going into executive session, please say aye.
Aye.
Amy? Okay. We're going to go into executive session.
Thank you.
Well done.
Wow.
Okay, we wait.
Achos. Ah. Oh.
back in session. I would note for the record, member Yoon has left the meeting. He's left the meeting.
He'll call in.
Well, I don't think he's going to call back in. So I think we did meet with the Deputy Attorney General's office in executive session to discuss our roles, duties, and responsibilities, liabilities, and privileges with respect to item F5, which is an enforcement action. So with that being said, we're back in session, and I think we have closed all public comments and testimony, and we're now, board members, do you have any questions of staff, or are you ready for a vote so we can have further discussion?
You ready?
We are ready.
Okay. So thank you again for what you've both shared with us today. At this point, I'll be approving recommendations and submittal with an amendment to item number two. And the determining amount that we decided upon. Yeah, so that's my motion, that I would be doing that. Approve that. Okay, yeah. So.
And then how would you, the motions? Okay, with an amendment and then, yeah.
Okay, so, did I read this here? No, I didn't.
Yeah, you did. You read this part.
Okay.
So now say what your amendment would be.
So the basis of the amendment, and I'm sure, I'm sorry, I'm going to speak to the motion.
Did you make it?
Yeah.
This is the motion.
Okay, very good.
So the value of the coral damage is higher because of the location, being a marine life conservation district and culturally significant, adds to the severity and nature of the damage. We believe it's a special place, and so that determined the motion that.
And the
amount that we actually decided was the amount.
You decided.
No, I'm sorry. The amount was.
The amount that you.
Or is, I'm sorry, there's a bunch of amounts here. To the penny, $1,818,851.97.
Very good. A motion has been made. Do I have a second?
A second.
Okay. We're in this discussion.
Chair, this is maybe one comment for staff and then just one general comment. I know that I asked a question about the fuel leaks piece. And I do think that going forward, to the extent that staff can assess the impact of the fuel leaks on the surrounding environment. We know that obviously fuel leaks are a hazard to human health, but they're also a hazard to the environment and the aquatic species that DAR is tasked with managing. And so from my perspective, I just think that is an important consideration that isn't even being factored into our conversation today. And I think going forward, it should be. And then, you know, I think the second thing I would just say is that, as Member Kanto said, I think that the egregiousness of the, situation that occurred is such, and the, specialness, if that's the right word to use, of this site is such, that I think, levying sort of the full extent of our abilities to find is important. And I think also to be able to send a signal to others in the future that this board takes these kinds of matters very seriously, and that we'll be looking to exert serious fines with respect to damage and environmental pollution that has an impact, especially on places that are unique biologically, culturally, and for the community. So appreciate all the work that staff has put into this, and I'll be supporting Member Kanto's motion.
I mean, I would just say, I think we really heard the community. I think the community's comments have been the cultural significance of this is right outside of a marine life conservation district. I mean, I think of if this would have happened right outside of Hanama Bay, the community would have been outraged. So, I mean, I think while perhaps some of the coral may not have been on DAR scale as really of high value, it had cultural value, it had place value, it had community value, and really appreciated the community coming forward and, you know, coming to us and expressing their outrage, but also the cultural significance of the place. And I mean, there's something to be said about we're trying to really promote Aina based. And we do have to take into, in my mind, it is really important that we take into consideration the protection of all those resources. Those resources have been placed by Keakua for a particular reason in a particular place. So for those reasons, while I know it deviates a little bit from DAR's normal, how we calculate, I think at least for me, what I was able to distinguish here was due to the location of the place, it elevated the value of the coral. It elevated why they shouldn't have even been there in the first place. But again, a lot of that in my mind was really due to the community coming out, expressing to the board their outrage and their concerns. And I think the board, I want the community to know that we listened and we heard what you had to say, and we appreciated your participation in this process. So I will be inclined to also support Member Kanto's motion. With that being said, anybody else? I'm gonna call for the question. All in favor of the motion to accept staff's recommendation with the amendment to recommendation number 2 to increase the fine as indicated by Member Kanto. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
And I will note that Member Barnes's hand is raised. It passes by 6 votes.
Thank you.
I'm getting there. With that being said, thank you very much. I'm going to go on to item F1. I'm going to try to finish it. Thank you, John.
Thank you.
Appreciate you being here.
All day.
F1.
So items F1, F2, and F3 are all very similar. Do you want to take them one at a time?
No, let's do them all.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Aloha, Chair, board members, Brian Nielsen, Administrator for Division of Aquatic Resources. So items F1, F2, and F3 are similar. Request approval to add funding and extend through September 30th of 2025 an existing federally funded project agreements between the Department of Land and Natural Resources and Research Corporation of University of Hawaii, RCUH. And the three different projects are investigation of estuarine habitats, statewide marine resource assessment, and Hawaii Marine Recreational Fishing Surveys.
Any questions, board members, to...
Go ahead, Riley. Just one question. None of this research will cover or touch on aquarium fishing, or will any of it inform the analysis that you all presented to us at the past meeting?
So number 2, statewide marine resource assessment. So this will fund fish and habitat surveys on coral reefs. This doesn't fund work in West Hawaii, but it does fund work on Oahu, Maui, and Kauai. So, you know, the results of that work could be used to assess aquarium fish or compare to aquarium fisheries.
Thank you for asking that question, Amy.
Yeah. There's public testimony. I'm happy to make a motion.
Yep, I don't see anybody, so you go ahead.
Move to approve F1 through 3.
Motion has been moved and seconded to approve items F1, F2, F3. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Amy's hand is up. Motion passes by 6. Oh my God. You've got 2 minutes to make 5 o'clock.
F4. So F4 is approval of petition for a contested case hearing by Anthony Hodgson and 2G Vessel Owner Limited regarding enforcement action against Anthony Hodgson and 2G Vessel Owner Limited for unlawful damage to stony coral and live rock resulting from the September 29 to 30, 2021 endless summer anchoring incident within Kailua Bay Fisheries Management Area, Island of Hawaii. And I need to make a correction on the title. So the board did approve the petition for a contested case back in December 8th of 2022.
It was December 9th because it was a continued meeting.
So yeah. December 9th, 2022. So today we're actually requesting the board to appoint a hearing officer or authorize the chair to appoint a hearing officer.
Correct. And we apologize for the confusion. Oftentimes I think those happen together, but when they were kind of split, the board approved the petition for a contested case, but at the time didn't ask for approve a hearings officer. And there was confusion among staff whether we were supposed to. So we apologize for that delay. But.
Okay, because I was thinking that's like an 18-month delay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Board members, any questions? I also, is it Matthew Easer?
Yes, good afternoon. I represent Captain Anthony Hodgson and 2G Vessel Owner Limited. We were just here because of the concern regarding the clarification that was just made, but we don't have any issue as long as that clarification is taken into account.
And it's your client that requested the contested case hearing?
Correct.
Okay. Okay. And this is to appoint a hearing officer to conduct the contested case. All right, board members.
Move that we approve item F4 as recommended by staff.
Second.
Ooh, a motion has been moved and seconded to approve item F4. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And Amy raises her hand. Having no other business, does Athena, is that our last item on the agenda?
Yes, we are.
4:59.
Good job. And I said 5 o'clock. Woo-hoo! Yes. Oh my God.
Thank you, Chair. Bye.